from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. This is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we welcome you inside Everbank Field, inside the Jaguars Radio Network studios. J.P. Shadrick with the senior writer for Jaguars.com, John Oger. This is Jaguars.com Live. Glad you're with us. It is high noon on Wednesday. We're back from Indy.
We're back in the cozy cocoon.
How about that? How about the week in Indy? A solid week of coverage on Jaguars.com.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, we had a chance to talk to Peter King. We had a chance to talk to Pete Prisco. We had a chance to talk, you know, to a lot of people with a lot of knowledge of the NFL and the Combine. And if you look back on it, it was a good weekend.
We'll break that down a little more later in the show. Here's how you can get involved, at Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Oger. We'll take Twitter questions throughout the day, maybe a few phone calls as well. The guest today, Mark Lamping, the president of the Jags, scheduled to join us any minute. Jerry Sullivan, the wide receivers coach for the Jaguars, will join us around 12:20 today. Let's look at the Jaguars this week. Of course, a business update coming from President Mark Lamping in just a moment. We'll review the Combine in Indianapolis. And, of course, next on the schedule for the Jaguars brass on the football side, free agency. That starts March 11th. A few pro days mixed in early in the month, but March 11th, really the big date right now for the football side. And we're joined now live in the Jaguars Radio Network studio by President Mark Lamping. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Great. There was taco bar at lunch today, Mark.
I know. This was sort of like moving Marvin Barnes, you know. Game time is on time. I just sort of slid in here. Sorry about that.
No worries at all. What have you been up to? I mean, there's no real off season for an executive in the NFL, right?
Well, you would hope it would get a little slower, but, you know, when you're 4-12, you've got a lot of work to do, both on and off the field. So it's been a great off season. A lot of interesting things have happened. You know, we're really excited about the momentum that that we have right now. We have a lot of work ahead of us, but you know, I don't think without any question we're on the right path. We've got a ways to go, but we're clearly pointed in the right direction.
What, we're going to get to some issues in a minute, but going into your third year, struck by any differences in this job and the ones you've held in the past? Anything just stick out?
Well, I think, St. Louis is a much bigger market, mm-hmm. and being with the baseball team in St. Louis is a little bit like the 800-pound gorilla mm-hmm. in that community, a franchise that has a really, really long, proud history of success, both on and off the field. And the challenge there was to, fix some issues that the franchise was dealing with in the early 90s, but then add to the rich history. Here, the challenge is a little different. You know, we're blessed with unbelievably supportive fans. And while we're 20 years into this journey of the NFL in Jacksonville, we can't look back on a myriad of championship teams, and we can't point to our favorite Hall of Famers. So we need to, clear that first hurdle, which is to get the franchise in a position where we're making history. And, you know, in some respects, that's what we're all excited about. It's one thing to add a great chapter to, a very great book on the history of a franchise. Here, we would be writing the book, and there's no question we can do it. It's just going to take a little bit of time and a lot of hard work.
Mark Lamping is with us, president of the Jaguars, on Jaguars.com Live. Of course, the biggest news this offseason is the construction of the new scoreboards and the party deck here at Everbank Field. What's the latest on the construction, and have there been any setbacks? Are you ahead of schedule? What's the latest?
We're right on schedule. It's going to be a real game changer for the stadium. And, as great as the renderings look and what our loyal fans have seen, the actual impact of it is going to be well beyond what anyone can imagine. It's going to be a total transformation of Everbank Field. It's a major project. We're right on schedule. Our expectation is to have all of the work complete by the middle of July. You know, we've encountered some great things so far in the process. We've had some tougher obstacles we need to clear. We had some subsurface issues that took us a little while to work through, but you know, we've completed that. All of the pilings are complete, and demolition on the north end zone should begin next week, and that'll be you know, the first real sign that fans can see that, you know, things are really happening. So
you've obviously been around major construction before. How much does that help in just sort of knowing that it's a process that you just sort of got to push through, I guess?
Well, I don't get you know, excited and lose sleep over, you know, any little issue that we encounter, because you realize that, you know, anytime you're going underground, and you know, while this isn't rebuilding a stadium, mm-hmm. it's a major renovation around a building that's about 20 years old. But I have 1,000% confidence because we've assembled an outstanding team. You know, the project manager that we were fortunate enough to bring in to lead the project from the Jaguars' perspective is someone that I hired in St. Louis that oversaw the construction of Busch Stadium there. He finished recently the construction of Marlins Park down in Miami. He did PNC Park in Pittsburgh. So he's been around major construction projects, and we're fortunate that he was between major assignments so we could have him come over here. And the joint venture that's doing the project is a joint venture between Elkins Construction, which is a very strong local Jacksonville construction company, along with Hunt Construction. Hunt Construction is out of Indianapolis, Indiana, and they're one of the best builders in all of sports, having done a long list of baseball as well as football stadiums. So we've got a great group that's assembled. You know, people don't get too excited when you encounter little problems. You just figure out a way to work through them.
Mark Lamping is with us, president of the Jags on Jaguars.com Live. Reiterate again what this means in terms of the tarps. You know, a lot of people are concerned with tarps at the stadium, but a lot of those are going away now this coming year, right?
Well, it was one of our goals from the beginning. You know, everyone knows the reason for the tarps. It's not because we don't receive support. It's because we built the church for Easter Sunday, and Easter Sunday here is Florida, Georgia. So, you know, even when you kill some of the seats and you use tarps to do that, you know, we get the capacity down to 67,000, which is larger than the average NFL stadium in arguably the smallest of NFL markets. But when you see those tarps, it's something that psychologically, you know, I think the community looks at it. Certainly people outside the community look at those tarps and they say, well, it's a bad football town because they have to put tarps. So if nothing else, getting rid of the tarps is something that has been an objective of ours, but we have to do it in the right way. And, you know, the project in the north end zone will eliminate the need to have the tarps in the north end zone, so those will be gone. Our plans right now is, as we relocate some of the seats that were in the north end up at the top, the honor row seats, along with the seats that you know, we have in partnership with the USO, that those sections will be relocated over to the east side of the stadium. And if we do it right, we can get rid of the tarps in the upper deck of the east side, and all we'll be left with is how do we deal with the tarps on the east side. We'll get rid of the tarps on the west side of the stadium. It will be the only tarps we'll have left, and you know, we're going to try to figure out a way to minimize the impact of those as well. So if nothing else, given the way the television angles work, you know, those viewers that are tuning into games from Everbank Field next year, you know, probably shouldn't see any tarps. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, we didn't do the project to get rid of the tarps, but it is a great side benefit.
Let's go to social media now. A question off Twitter from @JVilleJaguars. You know, this is talking about the presentation you guys made in New York during Super Bowl week. Do you see the endless possibilities becoming anything close to a reality? Seems like a very good idea in Florida, #Jaguars. Of course, the endless possibilities was the renderings of the possible roof here at Everbank Field. How close is that? Is that a possibility? What's the real deal with that?
Well, it's a solution to a very real issue that our fans, you know, have expressed, and that is particularly early in the season, on the east side of the stadium, the sun can become a real problem, and the way to deal with that given that the basic structure of this stadium is still relatively good, is to try to bring shade to that side of the stadium. It's hard to do that given the configuration and the orientation of the current stadium. So one way to do that would be to bring in a retractable roof. And construction processes and technology has developed so quickly over the past couple decades that there are less expensive, somewhat affordable ways to be able to do that now. You know, we're always trying to stay ahead. Our belief is that the best stadiums are those stadiums that continue to evolve, that evolve hopefully along with what the needs of our fans are. And putting a roof on the stadium, which will deal with bringing shade, providing protection from rain when necessary, but more importantly, not enclosing it so we still have exposure to the nice breezes that come through the stadium area, as well as the fact that most of the time the weather is very pleasant here, and that's what we want to showcase to the rest of the country is, you know, how blessed we are with the weather here in Jacksonville. So to answer your question, is it something that's a possibility? It most certainly is. Is it something that is going to happen in the next couple years? No, it's not. But in order to extend the useful life of Everbank Field, which we think is a very worthy endeavor for both the owner of the stadium being the city as well as the Jaguars, who are the primary tenant, we think it's a good thing for us to be focused on. But we got to figure out what's the right thing to do. And then most importantly, you know, how do we finance it?
Plus, it looks really cool, and it'd be another game changer. I mean, it would.
Well, I think it would be, and don't underestimate the impact of what we're doing in the stadium next year. One of the real objectives is to have a stadium that people can clearly identify as being the football stadium in Jacksonville. And one of the ways to do, I mean, right now, if you saw a game being broadcast from Everbank Field, you know, you wouldn't know whether you're in Charlotte or you wouldn't know where you are, because there's nothing within the stadium itself that is distinct versus other NFL stadiums, are legitimately a reflection of this community. And that's one of the things we're going to do next year. And that's why there's been a lot of talk about it, some joking about it, but why we've always felt that integrating water somehow into these renovations is something that's important. And one of the reasons that it's important is it helps gives the stadium a personality, and it gives it an identity that's legitimately Jacksonville, because, you know, one of the greatest things about this community is the water, whether it's the St. John's River, whether it's the ocean, whether it's the beaches. And, by the way, the number of swimming pools that exist in this part of Florida, you know, like it or not, water is a big part of who we are, and why not share it with everyone?
Mark Lamping is with us, president of the Jaguars on Jaguars.com Live. Let's talk London now. Of course, a year into this four-year deal for the Jaguars to play a game a season at Wembley. Is there anything that you've taken from that last year's trip or the aftermath of that, maybe the debriefing of it, that you can put towards next year? Anything you've learned from a year there now?
Well, we've learned that it's a good strategy. Now, you know, we still have three more years to see what happens. But when we committed to London, we did it for a number of reasons. The first and most important reason was to make the Jaguars stronger here in Jacksonville. We wanted to help raise the profile of the city of Jacksonville and have that translate somehow into economic development via tourism and creation of new jobs here in Jacksonville. It has been working against all three of those objectives very quickly. We generated significant revenue this year in London. You know, we our local revenue, which has been the metric that we've talked about starting a year ago when we had our first state of the franchise, that we, meaning the Jaguars, have to do everything we can to grow our local revenue. Our local revenue grew this year, and it grew thanks to the revenue that we generated in revenue and brought here to Jacksonville. If it wasn't for the London game this year, our local revenue would have eroded a little bit. So we were able to check that box off. We also have become a much higher profile franchise in London, which can lead to further monetization of that going forward and generating even more revenue. You know, before we went over for a game there last year, the research had the Jaguars being the 31st most popular team in the UK. The most recent research, we've moved all the way up to 9th, and that's after just 1 year, and we expect that to continue to improve going forward. And then what's happened here, thanks to leadership from the city of Jacksonville, from the mayor's office, from the president of the city council, to the Jacksonville Chamber of Commerce, they really worked extremely hard and were very productive in terms of using the platform that the Jaguars in London created for tourism and economic development. And we've even seen job creation come as a part of that. So we've just scratched the surface, but it's been a very, very positive first year, and we know that we'll execute it even better this next year. And again, the benefit is we are a stronger franchise in Jacksonville, which is what our fans care about. We're a stronger franchise here in Jacksonville by playing 9 games in Jacksonville and 1 game in London.
And you get the sense that people are starting to get that first part. It was a little bit of a learning curve for some people here, but I get a feeling people are starting to grasp what you're talking about with the first part.
Well, I hope so.
Strength in town.
You know, I know that the local government understands it. The state government understands it. The local business community understands it. Our partners with the Jaguars, they understand it and they accept it and have embraced it. You know, I think our fans understand it as well. You know, I don't think we had a lot of fans not attending Jaguar games last year because we had moved one game to London. You know, there were other reasons why our attendance was down last year. I don't think it had anything to do with London. It had to do with, you know, the product that we put on the field the prior year and how this year started.
Mark Lamping is with us. Let's talk about the Premier League. End of Premier League season. Is there any news on Fulham maybe coming over here to play at some point next season in a preseason or training at some point? Any news there?
Well, you know, one of the things that Shad committed to, and one of the reasons that you know he purchased Fulham, the Fulham Football Club, is that it could help us in terms of, you know, when the Jags go to London, but also his commitment to bring more and more events to Everbank Field. You know, we clearly believe that the busier Everbank Field is, the better that is for the Jaguars, and it's not just NFL games and college football marquee matchups and the Gator Bowl. There are many other opportunities, with soccer being one of those. So Shad was committed. He said early on that after he bought Fulham, he was going to bring them over here to play. They will be coming here to play in late July. Looks like it'll be the first major sporting event following the completion of the stadium modification. So that would be certainly a reason for people to come out and see what it has to offer. And, you know, just continuing to cultivate and to increase the awareness of Jacksonville as a you know, as a great community. Premier League games, teams featuring world-class soccer or football clubs, those games get worldwide attention. And anytime we can get Jacksonville and get it featured not only nationally and internationally, we think it's a great thing for this community.
Mark, we really appreciate your time today on Jaguars.com Live. Don't be a stranger around here. This is fun.
Well, you know, I had that long commute to get here. I actually had to cut through the cafeteria and find my way back here to the hallowed halls of Radio Land with the Jaguar. So it's a pleasure to be here, and you know, I look forward to my next visit.
Mark, thanks a lot. Right. Mark Lamping, president of the Jaguars, joining us. Let's talk tickets. Jaguars Ticket Office accepting deposits for the 2014 season now. Call 633-2000. You can speak with a representative or visit Jaguars.com for more information. And look at this home schedule in 2014. Indy, Tennessee, Houston, Miami, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and the New York Giants are at Everbank Field. That Dallas game is at Wembley Stadium in London. A reminder to current season ticket holders, brochures and invoices are emailed only this year. Renewals will hit email inboxes next week. Jaguars.com Live continues with Jerry Sullivan, the wide receivers coach for the Jaguars. We're live on the website, Jerry. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, good to see you. And
thank you,
what's going on with you these days? You just got back. You were in Indy, right?
Correct.
How was the week for you in Indy?
It was eventful. You know, it's always fast. You know, a lot of interviews. You know, obviously it all leads up to the workout at the end, and then everybody makes a mad dash for the airport. But it's good. You know, I always tell players, it's very beneficial to go and, you know, to do everything, because at no other time will you have all the coaches, all the general managers, all the head coaches, all the scouts, everybody in the league, basically, who's a football person, will see you perform. So to your benefit to go, and obviously they all want to perform well. They see it in dollars and cents, and their agents also see it that way. But I'm just saying it's a very worthwhile time for a player, and it's a great experience.
You've been doing this for a while. You've been to a lot of combines, and you've seen a lot of receivers. Do you get wowed at the combine? Or, I mean, is there ever a time you look at a guy and go, uh-oh, that's special? Or do you just know it's going to be a process for these guys? Or how do you approach it?
I look at them and I see them. I just try not to get too emotionally. I try not to attach myself too much to mm-hmm. them, because I like them, because I think they can help us be better. Because, you know, you only get, you know, it's like Russian roulette. You're getting one pick every so often. So, you know, I've fallen in love with guys in my younger days, and
right.
we'd be two picks away, and there he's in. He's sitting there waiting on us, and boom, he's gone, and then your heart's broken. So I just kind of look at him as, hey, I think this guy's going to, in my head, I'm processing information as I see him. This guy's going to be this guy's going to be that, this guy's going to be that. You know, that's without looking at a whole lot of mm-hmm. film, just as I see him perform.
Historically, again, I think it's probably your 22nd, 23rd combine?
Correct, 23rd.
What guy stood out the most at your position at the combine where you just went, wow?
This year?
Ever. Is there a guy who stands out?
You know, that would be, I'm sure there is. You know what, I remember when Andre Johnson went through, mm-hmm. and I remember thinking to myself, that guy is going to really be a good player because he's big and he was physical and he was tough. Demaryius Thomas mm-hmm. was another guy. I mean, I had him when I was in San Francisco. I had him as the number one guy on our board, you know, that I liked. So, I mean, those are a couple of current guys that kind of jumped out at me that I really liked.
Gotcha.
Question from Cover It Live at the bottom of your screen. You can join in at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osher as well. This question, Coach, is from Jason. How beneficial was working with the wide receivers at the Senior Bowl? You know, young guys coming out, seniors coming out, dealing with an NFL coach maybe for the first time. Was there any reaction there in terms of the Senior Bowl, and how positive was that for the staff?
It was great for the staff, and it was interesting. Jordan Matthews from Vanderbilt came up to me at the combine and just reiterated a couple times over about how great the experience was for him to be a part of our culture at the Senior Bowl, and it makes you feel good because he's a great kid and he'll play in this league for a few years, but you know, it was really nice to see, you know, hear that from him. I think all the guys on the quarterback, he came up to me and was very complimentary of our process and culture. So, you know, his hat's off to Gus, and, you know, he's one that sets the tone. And the guys that we had that were there, the Saunders kid from Oklahoma had a great time. They all came, you know, everyone I saw that was there that I got a chance to visit with was very excited about it. So, yeah, it was good, beneficial for us, and really beneficial for them.
Jerry, the draftniks, and I'm sure you put a lot of stock into what they say that this is maybe the best wide receiver class they've seen, the deepest. Your thoughts on it? You agree? Is this a good class? Or
it is a good class, as you can, you know, as you can basically tell by the physical part of it. You know, there's always a lot more that goes into it. You know, I always tell guys, you know, that the hard part is for a rookie. This is kind of the honeymoon for them. When they get drafted, boom, they're into OTAs. Then they stay a little longer than the veterans do, and then they go to the NFL, has a symposium for the drafted guys, and then they get a chance to go home for two weeks, and they come back and they go to training camp, and then they play four exhibition games, and then they play 16 games in 17 weeks, and boom. I mean, right. it's a lot longer than they think it is. And, you know, they're young, and that's great. But it's a process, and it takes a little bit of a toll on them. They're going to play against good guys every week. It's not going to be, you know, you're not going to get some guy's going to play 12 yards mm-hmm. off of you and hope you don't catch 25 passes. They're going to get you up there, and the better you are, the better you have to be. You know, it's kind of like I always used for guys like me that grew up in the age when they used to have cowboys. You know, when you used to buy a cap gun and be a cowboy, I used to tell them it's kind of like in the old West. If you were a great, you know, if you were a Wyatt Earp or you were Billy the Kid and you came riding into town, tied your horse up at the saloon, you went in the saloon to have you a shot of whiskey, there was a guy in the saloon was going to see if he could draw his gun faster than you. And that's kind of how it is in this league. I mean, when you come into this league and you're Sammy Watkins or you're Odell Beckham Jr. or you're Kelvin Benjamin and you go line up out there, that DB knows you're number one pick, knows you're a good quality guy, and they're going to try to make you look bad.
JP, you still sometimes pretend you're a cowboy.
I do, all the time, actually. I go to a lot of saloons, too, shockingly yes. enough. Jerry Sullivan is with us, wide receivers
coach.
Used
to be Cowboys and Indians, but I don't know if that's politically correct.
Let's talk about the receivers on your roster. Of course, last year, Coach, it was almost a revolving door at times. Guys coming and going, injuries, guys gone for other reasons. The core group of your receivers on this team, were you happy with how they played last year? And what do you see moving forward?
Well, I think none of us know how hard it was for Cecil to go through a whole season with a sports hernia. Yeah. And you know,
did he know that early, by the way?
Yeah, and we just tried to manage it. Yeah. And he did all he could do until he ran that long route in the Houston game that he almost caught, and when he did that was it. He couldn't go anymore. So it was a weekly deal we managed, but he's got it fixed, and I think we'll see. I think Cecil wasn't quite up. I think being limited to what he could do last year in practice, I think it hurt him. Mm-hmm. I think we'll see a healthier him and a productive him. Justin obviously is a talented guy, but remain, you know, I don't want to say anything about that because that's not my call.
Sure.
Ace made some progress. He learned some of the, and then Mike, I thought Mike Brown was a kid that Mike does. He's a very knowledgeable guy, played quarterback in college. He came here on kind of a wing and a prayer. He stuck around on developmental, got to play last year, played 11 games. He was a tough kid, smart, can play any position, really helped us because, like in the Denver game, Cecil went down. Boom, he had to go in and play X. If we play four wides, he plays Y. Ace gets hurt, he plays H. Justin got suspended, he played Z. So I mean, he's a guy, very valuable guy. And then he had 32 catches for 440 yards in an 11-game season. I thought he did a good job. So Kerry Taylor came in late, made a few plays. And then there was Stephen Burton kind of flashed in and out of there. So we really had a lot of guys kind of coming and going. Lamar Thomas made a couple of nice plays late in the year. But it'll obviously, you know, the room will change, as it usually does. Mm-hmm. You have your core guys. Core guys need to keep getting better. And then we'll have somebody new and go from there.
Sure.
Ace. You mentioned him. He had 51 catches and seemed to get his feet under him as the season went along. What's your thought on him going forward?
Well, I just think, you know, it's going forward, mm-hmm. you know, and early in the year it was tough because, you know, Ace was starting as a Z and he wasn't ready for that really, but we plugged him in and he did a good job, but, you know, he should mature more. So he's seen how it works. That always helps you. And then you have to be smart enough to know that what you did last year really doesn't make any difference once the last game's over with you, how well you do down the stretch, you know, how well you go forward is how you get judged. And in this league is a today league. I was commenting to my son, who's a scout for the Packers, isn't it interesting? I mean, what a today league it is. The offensive staff at the Baltimore Ravens, who won the World Championship a year ago, there's only one coach left from that staff, and he's the guy that came late. That's the way it is. It's just the way it works. And so from a player perspective, I tell our guys, you know, it's kind of like going to the produce market. You know, you have to be you can't be a piece of fruit that's got a dent in you. You know, people are going to pass that one up. You better look like a nice red ripe tomato that people, because that's how you're judged, and that's production is what you base your career on, and the more productive you are for the longer period of time, the better chances you got to stick around. And there's not a lot of it's a no mercy league. I mean, if you have a bad year, you can't have another bad year, or you'll be home.
Jerry, we really appreciate your time today, Coach. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Jerry Sullivan, wide receivers coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars, joining us on Jaguars.com live. Get ready, okay. Jaguars.com. Pro Day coverage begins in mid-March for the first time ever. Jaguars.com crew will be on the road. Teddy Bridgewater's is March 17th. Blake Bortles, March 19th. Johnny Manziel, March 27th. Jadeveon Clowney, April 2nd. It's all sponsored by Turner Pest Control. If you demand the best, go with Turner Pest. And note that the decisions to go to these four are Jaguars.com staff only. It has nothing to do with the football side. They'll be at plenty of others as well. We picked the big three quarterbacks. And, of course, Clowney, who is a freak of nature. So
we're just going after the stars, JP.
That's what we do. Aim
that's
high.
What we hang out with stars.
That's why we had Mark Lamping and Jerry Sullivan. In
it was a good show. I mean,
two big stars.
Yeah, you guys are good, and that was enjoyable. I learned a lot.
You want to get into some of the free agency stuff, or are you good? You done?
A little bit. Yeah, we can talk a little bit.
Yeah.
Free agency's coming up, I guess, 2 weeks from yesterday.
March 11th
yeah.
is
so
today.
It's coming. I think the first... And the first order of business is getting something up with Chad Henne. I think that's what they'd like to do. And that sort of clears up what they can do in the draft. So.
And, of course, Dave said it before, that Dave Caldwell, GM, he said that he wants Henne done before free agency starts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 2 weeks away. Who knows how soon it could happen. But if he sticks to his guns like he always has, mm-hmm. it'll be done before that day.
Well, in most cases, that's what it takes. There are times a guy goes out and tests the market and comes back. But usually, if you let a guy test the market, they get somewhere, they're talking to a team, and they just go ahead and sign there. So it's if you really want a guy back, for the most part, it's good to get him signed up front. People will take that comment and say, what about Maurice Jones-Drew? Well, there are always exceptions to that. But for the most part, if you let a guy go in free agency and go test, they usually wind up signing somewhere else.
J.P. Shadrick with John Osier, Jaguars.com live. Glad you're with us today at Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osier. You know, yesterday on the site you visited with Luke Jokel.
Almost forgot
his name
guy.
For a minute. Yeah, that guy. Former first-round pick, of course, a year ago out of Texas A&M, the left tackle. Broken ankle in his first game at left tackle, which was week 5 mm-hmm. at St. Louis a year ago.
15 plays in.
His spirit's pretty high, though, right now, right?
Well, and he's obviously ready. He's a guy that anybody you talk to around him, you talk to him, he's one of these guys who lives for it. He always wants to be around it. Every 16 games he plays is valuable. He's sort of that guy. He loves it, lives it, and this is what he wants to do. So to have that taken away from him, really just as he was getting to the position where he wanted to play, where he felt comfortable, I like the quote he gave me. It was sort of a huge tease. You know, that all of a sudden he gets to play 15 plays. He's playing against Robert Quinn of St. Louis, who's one of the better pass rushers. He feels like he's playing well. From everything you hear, he was playing very well. And then all of a sudden he's done for the year. So he's obviously ready to get back. And it's always interesting to talk to guys January, February, because they've had a chance to reflect, especially the rookies. And I think Luke sort of realizes what he needs to work on, where he's going. He's ready to get back. He wants to be healthy, wants to be in OTAs. So he's at very much an excited point, and it's just basically now a case of holding him back a little bit until he's ready to go.
Yeah, of course, Luke wants to move forward as fast as he can. Here's what he said about how long it might be before he's 100%.
Hopefully soon. You know, we're not putting a timeline on anything, and, you know, no one ever wants to get injured and all that kind of stuff. But the good thing about it is that, you know, we do have time. It's not like season or there's a game here in a few weeks or anything like that. So we have time to, you know, really get better, get improve this ankle and get that strength back to 100%.
You know, just talking to him yesterday, just his general aura seems just a little more comfortable around here now than it did, you know, a year ago right after the draft.
Well, and that's what you want from an early draft pick, from a guy who you've really taken with the idea of playing left tackle, but also with the idea of being a leader for a few years. You know, you want your top level picks to be the guys who represent the franchise. It's very difficult to be that as a rookie because you're kind of looking around trying to figure out where the bathrooms are, you know, so to speak. So now that he's been around, I don't think he's quite owned that as much as he might because he only played four games, and he's a very aware guy, and he knows he hasn't been on the field yet. But he's ready to sort of start stepping it up to be a veteran. And just from being around him, you've been around him a little bit, JP, I think once he starts playing, once he starts being the left tackle and playing like the number two overall pick, that guy, I think he'll very much ease into that role of being one of the leaders on this team.
JP Shattered.
Really, absolutely. Sorry.
No, he's great. And, you know, talking to Jake Matthews at the combine during his press conference, I asked him about Luke and their interaction. They talk a good bit. And, of course, they were teammates for a while at A&M, and Matthews was over on the right side while Luke was on the left. And, of course, he leaves, and Matthews goes to the left side. But even with Matthews, there's some things that Luke can tell him about the league that his dad couldn't. Bruce Matthews, of course, the Hall of Famer.
Exactly.
Because it's a different era.
Different league, and it was interesting talking to Luke. Every player who looks back at the combine a year down the road, a couple years down the road, is always glad it's over with because it's a different kind of training. Luke said it was, you know, he trained last year for the 40. This year he said it's nice to be working on football-type things. So it's a different – those guys embrace the combine. They want to do well at it, but they're always glad when it's over.
Finally, let's – how about some reactions to Mark Lamping? Anything strike you during that conversation? Fulham's coming here in July.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing I got out of it.
Sure.
And that's going to be the first big event at Everbank Field after the new scoreboards are installed. I don't think we've heard that anywhere else before.
No, and again, what I took from it is, again, when you talk about the prototypes, when you talk about this, the improvements going on at the facility, it's just the constant looking forward and looking for ways to improve and looking for ways to be on the cutting edge, which there are always limitations in what you can do because those things have to be financed, but it's the it's having that on the front burner and always sort of looking for ways to get that done, to respond to the fans. And it's just a very active, bustling, forward-looking time around here, and it's neat to see. And he's aware that it's got to happen on the field, but as those start going forward, you're going to get different stages of development. But as much as those can be in lockstep, it's going to be an exciting time around here. That's what I took from it. It's always good to talk to him because I guess you get a chance to see the vision for the future of this franchise, and it certainly looks good.
I'm sure you'll hear from him coming up in the next few weeks as well. Jaguars Thursday tomorrow on WOKV Radio, 6 o'clock. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli's off this week. No telling what he'll be doing.
How will he know?
That's a good question. I don't know. Jaguars Thursday on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. Also, one more note before we get out of here. Jaguar season ticket holders, the Champions Club is still looking for passionate fans that want to enjoy working with other fans to keep Everbank Field full. Go to jaguars.com in the fan zone section. You can fill out an application. New Champions Club coordinator Jeff Fingland will be in touch with you. He just started the other day, actually. Orientation and training session is tomorrow night, so sign up today. He'll get back with you. Great show, Johnny.
JP, thank you.
Fun one. Mark Lamping, thanks a lot. Jerry Sullivan, thanks to him as well. And thanks to you for watching on Jaguars.com. For John Osier and everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. Thanks for watching Jaguars.com Live.